So you go to the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon, and you hear the yodeling of the sled dogs and the pounding rhythms of the Burntside Lake singers singing the spirit of John Bear Grease on his way, the clanking of the cowbells, the shush of the sled runners, and the thunderous quiet of thousands of paws hitting the hard-packed snow as the race begins. And you think to yourself, I like dogs. I want to do that. So what does it take to be a musher? We asked one.
You really have to take a look at your lifestyle and see what, if you like being home with animals, because it's like having a farm, and you have to take care of them every day or find somebody to take care of them. And then you have to figure out if you have enough room for multiple dogs, and you don't need multiple dogs to be in this sport. You know, there's ski-joring, which you can do with one dog, and it's gotten very popular. They had the Barky Berkey this year. Did you see that? Yes, they had a ski-jore event over at the Birkebeiner. I thought that was just so cool.
Ann Stead and her husband Al have their kennel of dogs on their 40 acres north of Duluth. It's a lot of land and a lot of dogs.
So getting back to getting in, I mean, you can get in really easy. You can get dogs pretty easily, and if it's not working out, then what do you do? So you really have to go into it cautiously. If you're thinking about getting in, it's nice to find somebody to go try it out with without purchasing anything. Find a musher and see if you really like it. See if it's something that you feel you can commit to. You're going to have your dog for 15 years. So I love it, but it's not for everybody.
Girl, huh?
Whee! Gotta get
hair everywhere. He gets put up on the front bumper because he doesn't chew the tie-down line. It's kind of critical when you have the team. You know, you're hooking up and then your team leaves because you notice that somebody's standing there with rope in their mouth. I'm so excited to go. I thought I'd just eat the line.
For some of us, the prospect of having lots of dogs sounds like fun. But there's lots of dogs, and then there's lots of dogs.
Well, then you're getting up into the, you know, a couple dozen. I think 20 minimum, because you're putting on thousands of miles, generally. And sometimes you'll have some injuries or dogs need some time off. Race viruses go through. They might have the flu one weekend, so you need to replace that dog with another dog. Some are young, some are old. When we were doing open class, we started training with 24. Now, those were raceable dogs. So then you have your old dogs and your puppies. So it was quite a large kennel.
Here's another thing. You don't buy a team of dogs for the Bear Grease. You build a team of dogs for the Bear Grease.
First of all, to do the Bear Grease, you're going to want to do other things first, because you have to learn to ride a sled. You have to learn to care for dogs. So I don't think that I would recommend somebody go out and buy a team to run Bear Grease. I think what they would do is build a team to run Bear Grease so that they can learn and, you know, acquire dogs as you go. Depends on the kennel. Dogs range from a couple hundred to several thousand each. Sleds now are, you know, they're not wood anymore, let's put it that way. So, I mean, some of the nicer sleds are up in the several thousand dollar range, and they are a, you know, engineering work of art. They're something else. With quick change runners and flexibility and runners that kind of, when you stand on them, they take the real hard bumps out of the trail. They just make your ride nice and easy. So you've got that. Then you have to have a sled bag. You have to have all your mandatory gear for a long distance race. You need an axe, snowshoes, sleeping bag, booties for the dogs, food for yourself for the dogs, headlamp, flashy lights for the lead dogs. That's a safety issue after dark. And I'm sure there's stuff I'm missing, but so you kind of get a feeling of how big that sled's got to be. So then you have your harnesses, then you have your gang lines to hook the dogs to the sled. You have your snow hook. And the last one I bought, I think they're up to $120 each. But you got to be able to anchor that sled when you're not on it. And then your gear. I mean, you have to, I love gear. I tell you what, parkas, hats, really good mitten systems, all your layers. I have my goggles, well, they're not goggles, they're sunglasses. I won't say the name, but they're with the lenses $300. And I love them. I wouldn't go any other route. But, you know, you can guess, certainly get away with less. So it's quite a financial investment. And then you get into the management of the kennel, which is feeding the dogs, the veterinarian costs. You have to do all that. And that's thousands of dollars a year.
By now, the sled dog visions of Iron Will and Call of the Wild that have been dancing in your head are beginning to pale with the realities of real estate, chores, vet bills, and the price of sleds. So why not take up another sport, like, say, chess or something?
Sydney? Jet?
Racing is such a small part of what you will do with a dog team. Because you have to have a life. You've got to have a job. And, you know, you have family, and sometimes your family doesn't have dogs. So then there's that. And the training is what it's about. It really. Being out in the woods with the dogs is what it's about. And if it happens to be during a race, great. But that's a very small percentage of the time that you will spend on the back of the runners is racing dogs. We've had up to 50 dogs, depending on what we're doing. Al and I both were into the sport and raced. We're down now. I have 9 running dogs. It's just a beautiful thing. You know, I have a life that I can do other things. I can get everybody trained on the same team. I'll go out in the woods and go, I wonder what's over here, and give them a command to go. My dogs are trained pretty well. They go where I tell them. And there's never a downside to going away from, like, the dog truck. So if I'm coming back and I decide I want to go exploring, I call it. Let's go exploring. I'll give them a command, and they're going, yeah, let's go look and see what's over here. So it's really fun. It's really fun.